thank you for receiving us.
No. So where are you from?
I'm from Belgium.
Yeah, what town?
Antwerp.
Antwerp?
No, Antwerp.
Antwerpen.
Oh, Antwerp.
Yes.
Well, that is the coast, yeah.
The port.
Yeah, I know, Antwerp. Yes. Well, what is the language there? Flemish or?
Flemish, yes.
Belgium has three languages. Flemish, Dutch and German. So, such a little country.
Yes.
And just like Switzerland.
Yes, and actually now 30% Arab.
What?
Arab.
Arab.
Yes.
So you speak Arab?
Well, I work for them.
Hello.
For 30.
Okay, so what are your questions? Yeah?
I'm now retired. We are now. She is very into Buddhism.
Yeah.
And I try to get familiar with the principles as well. And for I'm not meditating yet, but try to learn the principles. Mm.
That's why I'm looking for the ones who speak English and then can change their idea or can ask for some.
I mean, he only can change his own ideas. I cannot change anybody. And I'm not interested to change anybody. It's only Christian monks who want to change other people. Did you see any clips in, yeah, there are some clips in English, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So what is your, what are your questions?
Yes.
General question.
Not real general questions yet. It's just I read some about Buddhism and some of the moral principles to follow.
Yeah.
I don't didn't step into meditation yet.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you have to get familiar with Buddhism before you can step into meditation. I mean, it is not very... You were born Christian, no?
Yes.
So, I mean, in Christianity they have the Ten Commandments, huh? But in Buddhism you have the five precepts. So. And the five precepts are more comprehensive than the Ten Commandments. So the first precept is not to harm any living being. Yeah. So animal is also a living being. Yeah. Not to take what is not given. That's the same as in the Ten Commandments. Yeah? The no sexual misconduct. Yeah. That used to be also, you know, in the Ten Commandments. Huh? But sexual misconduct is also what used to be a teacher-student relationship, yeah? Parent-child relationship. That's all sexual misconduct. Yeah? And even, you know, even boss and secretary relationship. Yeah? So that is all sexual misconduct. So it is going much, much further than, you know, in Christianity. Then no lies, no harmful speech, yeah? And no alcohol, no drugs. And that, yeah, I mean, these are the five precepts, yeah? And these are protection for us to keep us from going down to hell. One has to be very clear about that, yeah? Why is it alcohol? Yeah, now drugs, okay, this is very clear. But why is it alcohol, yeah? I mean, you know when you drink something, I mean, your mouth opens very fast, yeah? And you say things that you later regret. And sometimes when you get really drunk, you do things that you later regret. That's why we have this precept. Yeah? So when you keep these five precepts, you don't go down to hell. Yeah, I mean, hell and heaven, they exist, you know, also in Christianity. So that is not so much different. However, what is different is that hell is not eternal. And heaven is also not eternal. Yeah? It's just places that you go for a while, just like you go on holiday, That means, you know, you go to heaven for a while and then you come back. Yeah. And it's the same with hell. You go there for a while and then you come back. It can be a very long while or it can be a very short while. Yeah? It depends on what you do and what kind of precepts you break. Right? And there, for each precept that you break, there are different kinds of hell. Yeah? I mean, Hieronymus Bosch, you know, depicted some parts of, you know, parts of hell. And, I mean, you see it in Thailand, in some of the monasteries, the depiction of hell. Yeah, I mean, we can imagine what hell is like, yeah. And depending, you know, what precept you break, that's where you go, to this part of the hell or that part of the hell. But heaven is also, it's not only one heaven, yeah. I mean, there are 25 different realms of heaven, yeah. I mean, what we used to call the fairies, that is the first layer of heaven, yeah. They still exist, yeah. I mean, our grandfathers, you know, believed, our grandparents believed in the fairies, yeah. They went out in the forest, because they live in the forest, yeah. Now they went out to the forest to see the fairies, yeah? That is one part, you know, and then there's several levels, you know, of heaven, yeah? I mean, in some, you know, there's one god, in another realm there are 16 gods, and at the top of the heaven, you know, are the gods of creation and the gods of destruction, yeah? Who create the planets, but who don't create life, yeah? Because they, in themselves, you know, are staying there only for a certain amount of time. And then they come back, yeah? Come back as a human being, or because of, you know, they destroyed, you know, human life, they go back, go down to hell, yeah? I mean, even the gods can go down to hell, yeah? So, I mean, it is all moving, yeah? So that's why it's called, you know, that's why I call it the hamster wheel, yeah? I mean, it's moving, we're running and running, you know? Depending, you know, sometimes we are in this realm, or sometimes we are in that realm, huh? And then when we get out of the realm, you know, I mean, we go to another realm, yeah? And there's no end to it, like there is no inner wheel, there is no end to the wheel, yeah? But the Lord Buddha showed us the door that opens up the hamster wheel so that we can get out, yeah? And don't run anymore.
They like to play, but not very long. They also get attention.
You look younger than the YouTube.
I look younger than the YouTube.
In the YouTube, yes.
Yeah, that can be. I'm not yet that young anymore. How old are you?
I'm 66.
66, yeah. So I'm 65. I don't look like 65. Yeah. So these five precepts, these are protection. So see them as protection, not see them as something harming us to do something. Yeah? They harm us to do something harmful. Yeah. So see them as protection. Yeah? And from now on, you know, whatever you did in the past, you cannot change anyway. So from now on, you try to keep them as best as possible. Yeah. This is our protection not to go down. Yeah. The other important thing about Buddhism that you have to understand is karma. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. I mean, in English or in Europe, we have to say, "Don't do unto others what you don't want others to do unto you." But they missed out, you know, on the second part of the sentence. For whatever happens to you right now is what you have done unto others. So whatever happened in your life is because of what you have done in previous lives. Yeah? It is not what you have done in this life. This is something that even the Thais have to understand. Yeah. They don't understand it. They think they go to a temple, make bun, you know, and then when they go out of the temple, they buy lottery tickets, yeah? It doesn't work like this, yeah? And they do have to understand this, yeah? I mean, they have to ask a farmer if he plants, you know, rice today, you know, if he can eat it tonight. No, they have to wait 6 months, you know, I mean, to be able to eat it, yeah? And so with the karma that we sow today, you know, I mean, we normally we reap in about 60 years, you know, sometimes it's longer, yeah? And sometimes, you know, it is shorter, yeah? But most of the time, you know, we only reap it in the next life. That's why we think, you know, I mean, when we are really Buddhists, how can somebody who constantly kills other people have a long life? Huh? No, he will have a long life because of his karma of his previous life. But the next life, you know, he will have a very short life. Yeah, because he killed other beings, other humans. Yeah. And be a, you know, what is different also from Christianity, yeah? We can be born as an animal. That's why we should not kill animals. Eh? We don't want to become animals. Of course it is not as bad as hell, yeah? But the animal realm, it is very difficult to get out of the animal realm. Yeah? Think about, you know, how animals treat other animals, yeah? Most of them, you know, live on other animals. So they will go down the road and road on road until they come, you know, to the smallest being that doesn't live on animals. And they slowly go up, you know, until they come, you know, to be a horse or be a cow, you know, or be a dog, you know, yeah? So that they come back to, you know. Teach that, you know, in Europe, you know, and nobody believes that. No, we can't become animals. Of course we can. So karma is very important, yeah? So that's why we have to be extremely careful, yeah? Whatever we do right now, whatever we say, yeah? And sometimes even what we think, yeah? Because it all comes back to us, yeah? It's like a boomerang, yeah? You throw it, you know, it comes back, yeah? You might not see it, you know, I mean, you throw it very far, yeah? But sooner or later it comes back, you know, it cuts your head. So these are the very important things. And then, of course, the Four Noble Truths. Eh? The first noble truth of dukkha. Yeah. I mean, when you go to the West, you know, they translate it as suffering. I mean, so few people are suffering. No, dukkha is dissatisfaction. And we are constantly dissatisfied. All the time, yeah. We do, you know, we eat, yeah, because we are dissatisfied with the hunger, yeah? Huh? We drink because we are dissatisfied with the thirst, yeah? We go to bed because we are dissatisfied with sleepiness. Huh? So we are all, and this is only the dukkha of the body, yeah? But we are dissatisfied when we see this person, or we are dissatisfied when we see that person, or we are dissatisfied when our wishes don't fulfill, yeah? Yeah? So, I mean, dukkha is always there, yeah? So that is the first noble truth in dukkha. Dissatisfaction, this ease, discomfort, yeah? Unease, yeah? And, of course, suffering, yeah? I mean, some people suffer, yeah? What is the reason, you know? The second noble truth is, what is the reason for our suffering? Yeah? Because we constantly want something, or we don't want it. Yeah? So we desire something or we don't desire, yeah? And that's where the dukkha comes in. And that's, when we start meditation, that's where we can see that there is a place where no dukkha exists. And that is when we are happy, when we are completely satisfied. And we are only completely satisfied when we can stop our thoughts and when we can stop our memories, yeah? Because when we stop our thoughts, there's no fear, there's no loneliness, there's nothing, yeah? There's just this happiness or this peacefulness or this calmness, huh? There's no future. So, I mean, we don't extradite, you know, something in the future. And there's no past. There's just this present moment, yeah? And that's where we can learn and see, you know, when we come out of samadhi, we see, you know, all our desire to want this, you know, just to move or this or that, yeah? Go here, go there. Eat this or eat that, you know, or go to sleep, drink this, drink that, that. It's always this desire that creates us dukkha. The third noble truth is, you know, there's an end of dukkha, and the fourth noble truth is the path that leads to the end of the dukkha. And the path that leads to the end of dukkha, is sila, it is the five precepts, it's samadhi, it's a training of samadhi. That's where meditation comes in. But the most important thing is vipassana, investigation, developing wisdom. And that is, the last part is only taught correctly here in Thailand. The vipassana that is normally taught in the West is not really vipassana, it's not really investigation. Because for investigation you have to observe. You have to be able to observe, and then when we observe something, we have to ask the right question. And then wait for the answer, not make up the answer. The answer comes from the heart, not from our mind. And that is very difficult for us because we are constantly trained to think about this, think about that. Yeah? So we have to stop thinking to be able to listen to what the heart says. Yeah? I mean, we don't know the heart, do we? We know our thoughts, we know our ideas, we now know our memories, but we don't know the heart. Yeah? The heart is the prime mover. Yeah? When you think about, you came up in a car. The car doesn't go without a driver. So if there's no driver in this body, the body doesn't go anywhere. Yeah? The body is just like the car. Yeah? But the driver is the citta or the heart. Yeah? In the heart, the thoughts are not the heart, the memories are not the heart. Yeah? The driver, like the driver in the car, he turns on the radio. So he listens to something. So when the citta wants to think, and then it drives on the thinking. Yeah? And it turns on thinking. Or when the citta wants to memorize something, then it turns on memory. And nobody ever looks after the citta. That is, just like nobody, just like Belgian people, they always look after their car, but they never look after their driver. Wash their car very often. It used to be, you are at this age here, Saturday, everybody washed his car, And you as a young boy had to wash your father's car, on Saturday, Everybody looked after the car, it's shiny poly, and then you take care of it. But you don't take care of the driver. Huh? The driver is as reckless, it's not the fault of the car, that the driver is reckless. So this is the important thing in Buddhism, that we have to look after the heart. Yeah? Because before a thought is coming up, the citta wants to think,
The car doesn't move without a driver.
No. And it's the same thing in samadhi. When you sit in samadhi and there are no thoughts and no memories coming up, the body does not move. There's no intention to move. Yeah? That's where you see, that's where you clearly can see it. Yeah? That the body, follows only the instruction of the heart. Very, very different concept, isn't it? In Christianity, the body is holy, there's no holiness. You open up the body and it's a complete mess. You don't want to see it, Think about all these doctors who open up the body the first time they open up with the body. They either throw up, because what they see is, so completely to their dislike, or they fall unconscious. So what is so holy about the body? You don't bury you don't make a ceremony for burying your car, when it is gone. Yeah? You put it on scrapyard, and leave it, When the car is not working, you get out of the car, and put it to the scrapyard, and then you look for another car. And that's the same with the citta. When the body is gone, it doesn't wait around, It gets out of the body because the body doesn't move anymore. It's gone, It's kaput, And then it goes looks for another body. Just like we do with our car,
And do you have something about intuition?
Of course, yes. And intuition normally comes always from the heart, The heart understands something. If the heart understands something, that is the most important thing. Yeah? But we always try to understand it. I mean, we were brought up in school, you know. I mean, to university level, you know. We only want to think, analyze, and so on. Yeah. So we lost contact to our heart. Yeah. And meditation is the way to get back to our heart. Yeah. But don't be surprised, you know, when you go to your heart, you know, there's a lot of filth in the heart. All the things that you kept down, yeah? You don't want to see, you didn't want to remember that, yeah? And the moment you go to the heart, it's like your attic in the house, yeah? I mean, you push all the things in there that you don't like anymore, yeah? And then, you know, somebody comes clean up your attic, and then you open the door to the attic, and all these things, you know, they are not gone anyway, yeah? So the things that we push down in our heart, yeah, are still there, yeah? So we have to let them actually open the heart and let them all go, yeah? Until the heart is completely empty, yeah? So what was your intuition? Do you have any intuition?
Well, there is things that you can explain, but there are things that you say, yeah, I had the intuition, I don't know where it comes from, but it turns out to be things to follow.
Yeah, sometimes it can be good, you know, but I mean, be careful, yeah? Some of the intuition come also from, you know, from our evil side, yeah? So you always have, in the beginning, you always have to check, yeah? As long as the intuition is within the five precepts, that's good, yeah? And then follow it, yeah? And see, yeah? I mean, for us, it is really trial and error, yeah? I mean, see, you know, but we have to evaluate, yeah? Before we do something, yeah? We know what we are going to do, we know why we are going to do it, and once we have done it, we look at the results of our doing. Who does that? Nobody. Huh?
Well, professionally, we were trained to do that a lot of time, but planning ahead, execution and re-evaluation.
Yeah? But do you do it with your wife? No. You just say something, you just do something, you know, I mean, yeah?
No, in that I'm careful what to say. Yeah. Because I always, how it will be perceived by another person if you say something.
So. Okay. No, there, of course, there's intuition, there's also foresight, yeah? I mean, we can see sometimes into the future, we can see the past, yeah? But this is not so important, you know. Important is what is happening right now in this moment. Most of the time we are somewhere in the future planning this, planning that, and you know, I mean, we're missing our life. We don't know what is going on, yeah? Just like when the kids, you know, play on the phone, they don't know what is going on. Yeah? They just play, you know. They kill the time, yeah? Waiting for death to come. As if you have nothing better to do.
And what you said, the plan for the future. And what about that? Tomorrow,
yeah.
I plan to cook, to prepare food,
yeah.
To offer to the monk.
Yeah.
The thing is a good intention,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But you just said, we just live by present. We just live by at yeah. The present.
Yeah. But even in the present, we know that we want to do something. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, of yes. Course, you know, and you know, there is some thought, you know, if you want to cook something,
yes.
In the present moment you think, this would be nice food to offer to the monk,
yes.
Yeah? So, I mean, you have to get the ingredients, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the intention that creates the karma. And the intention sometimes is not obvious. Think about, you know, people, you know, especially in the West who are in healthcare business, yeah? Who want to help people, yeah? And they burn out. That means their intention for helping other people was not correct. They had another intention that was hidden. Yeah? They thought, ah, look at me, and I'm so good, I'm helping other people. But all what they wanted is not to help other people, they wanted to have the recognition of other people. And because they don't get it, then they burn out. Yeah. If people really want to help, I mean, they have no problem, they don't burn out. So it is the intention is very often hidden, yeah? Hidden beneath something that is good, you know? But the intention is actually not good.
They want something in return.
Huh?
They want something in return.
Yeah, they want something in return, yeah? Just like in the West, you know, we always want something in return, yeah? Yeah? I mean, we give, you know, for good cause, you know, we want something in return, yeah? We want to know where our money went, yeah? The Thais just give. I mean, for them, that's the end of the matter. What the other person does with the money, it's his karma. Yeah? But we are not like this, yeah? We want to know if it goes for the right cause, yeah? We don't want just to give, you know? We want to check out, you know, I mean, we want, yeah, this is the return. We want to see that it is, yeah, given to the right cause, yeah. But for a Thai person, with giving something, that's the end of the matter for them, because they did good karma, yeah. Whatever the other person does with this present or with this, yeah, with this offering, I mean, it's his karma. So, I mean, even, you know, even when you know, even if you give to bad monks, you know, I mean, who use the money unwisely, it's still, you have done good karma, yeah? Of course, it is better to give to good monks, you know, but, you know, I mean, it is not a waste, yeah?
Yes, a lot of Western, they don't understand what a donation and offer.
Yeah.
That we offer food and we donation some money to the monk, they don't understand why.
Generosity. I mean, when you think about it, yeah. Think about, you know, the times, you know, I mean, you have brothers and sisters and you had girlfriends or you had a wife and you want to give a present, you think about giving a present to the person, you feel joy. You give the present to the person, you feel joy. And when you get something back, you feel joy. Why do we take that away from us? Why don't we want just give? And the Thais know that, yeah? I mean, giving itself, you know, creates three times of joy. Thinking about giving creates joy. Giving creates joy. Getting something back creates joy, yeah? So, that's the whole thing, yeah? I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, I mean, when you look at, where do you live? What part of the country do you live in? I mean, when you live in a little village, you know that, you know, the people take care of older people, yeah? Without any problem, without any asking question, yeah? I mean, when a mother leaves her child, you know, the other families yes. take care of the child. You see that in the West? No.
No, we don't. Well, sort of.
Well, we put our old people to the old people's home, yeah?
From his family, yes.
In our family, we treated yes, we took people in and also we adopted children.
Yes, but no, I mean, I'm talking about your country, you know, in general.
Yeah.
Yes?
By the general.
Yes, my father also always took in people, you know, and cared about other people. Eh? So, I mean, he was very generous, yeah? But my mother was very stingy, yeah? She didn't like it very much, yeah? Yeah, it does happen, yeah? But he was really generous. I mean, could really look up to
him. He also different from the other Western.
Yeah, of course, yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It depends on the karma, yeah? So why people want to give, you know, it's out of this reason, because it creates joy.
Because of karma, that's why he is sitting
here. Yeah, I mean, that's why he is here. You know, other people don't come to Thailand. Or if they come to Thailand, they just go to the sex bars, you know. Yeah, I mean, you see a lot, you know. I mean, when you go into the plane, you know, I was in the 80s, yeah. In the late 80s, you know, I was going on a plane to Thailand. I couldn't look at the people, you know. It's the scum of the earth, you know, that came from Europe. But there are always these few exceptions, you know, that were interested in the culture in Thailand, you know, and so on, in the people, you know, or in Buddhism, yeah. But it's exceptional.
Yes, because
we know when we adopted children, etc., we were very suspicious.
Of course. The other people look at you, you know, well, what is he doing, why, you know, and so on, yeah? Because they don't know this concept of generosity. So, that's why people give, you know, give to the monks, you know? It's good karma, you know, to give to a temple, you know, to give to the Sangha. It is better karma, you know, I mean, it is better, it has more fruits, you know, to give to the Sangha than give to other people. There's a value in it. But if you give to a monk, then, you know, I mean, you have to look, yeah?
Yes.
If you give to the Sangha, then that means the whole, yeah, the whole community of monks, yeah? So it's the Sangha of the Lord Buddha. Yeah? So, I mean, if you give to the Sangha of the Lord Buddha, it has higher merits, yeah? But if you give to a specific monk, you know, I mean, if you just want to give to this monk, yeah? I mean, if he's a bad monk, your merit is not as high as if it is Lungta Mahabur, where it is very high. He has never been in Pandap.
So many things that I cannot translate or explain to him. I understand just for myself, but I try to explain to him, but it's difficult, that's why.
Yeah, I mean, he should ask the questions, you know, if he wants to know something, yeah. Yes. Where in Sakonakon do you live?
Sawang Dandin.
Sawang Dandin, that is not far away, 45 minutes? 1 hour?
More than that.
It's 1 hour to Udon.
2 hours?
One and a half hour to Udon from Sawang Dandin. Mm-hmm. And then from Udon to here is...
It's 40 minutes.
Ka.
Yeah, so if you have questions, you know, I mean, you can also write it down and then come and ask them all, yeah? So, do you have any questions? Because then, yeah?
Not directly, but it's a first contact, so
yeah.
that when I have questions, that's what we she told me, oh, we have to go,
yes.
There you can speak.
Yes, I said, we have to come here, we have to come here.
Give him a life of inequality, you know, I mean, it's a very good book, you know, I mean, also, yeah, and it starts with very, very simple things, you know, and it goes also into meditation. But the important thing is that you have the faith in the Buddha's teaching. You don't have to believe what he says, but you have to have faith that what he says is true.
Yes.
Because what he says is what you can experience for yourself. Yeah? That's a difference, yeah? I mean, Christianity teaches, you know, you have to believe, you have to trust,
your
you know,
smile.
But you can never experience it for yourself, yeah?
Your smile is very kind.
My
I
smile
see a lot
is...
of kindness from your smile, yes. Right?
When we get in Christianity, it's actually forced in a way, and that's why...
Nobody at the moment. Yeah, it's only the older generation who still, you know, goes to church. The younger generation, yeah, I mean, they have another god. It's called money and power, and that's actually, you know, it's not the god, you know, it's Satan, the devil, man or man. Okay, so
okay.
Yeah, give him the book, yeah. So you can,
yeah.
Now you.
You sit and take that one with you and sit in front of him. Okay, this way.
66.
Well, starting another career.
Next life you start as a monk. What kind of work you doing? Are you retired now?
Yeah, I was an engineer and did projects all over the world.
What kind of engineer? Industrial?
The work I was responsible for IT, for computers.
For computers?
With the petroleum company.
With the petroleum company. BP, I know Shell. No, yes. not the Dutch company,
not
Shell.
Actually, I worked
you work for the Arab.
For Kuwait.
Kuwait, yeah.
Yes.
With the Q8.
Kuwait.
Yes, Q8.
The last project was in Vietnam. Build a refinery from zero. Build a port to bring in the oil pipelines every 8 years.
From where did the oil come from? From Kuwait?
From Kuwait, yes.
What did you study? Electrical engineering or what?
Actually, nuclear science.
Nuclear science, so you're a physicist.
Yes, but after 1 year of research, I said, no, this is not the career.
You didn't want to build an atomic bomb, huh?
No, exactly. That's why he...
And also with the weapons industry, I didn't want to have anything to do with it.
I was a computer engineer, you know, and I didn't want to work for weapons companies.
I went to Sweden for the company I worked in, and then they start showing me around in the military facilities.
Military facilities?
Yes. I said, no, that's not why I came here.
But that's what Europe is doing now. When it wants to start a war with Russia, can you believe that? I mean, everybody who started a war with Russia has lost.
And what is there to gain? I don't see
nothing.
What is there to gain?
What is there to gain is its own destruction. I mean, they are at the end of the financial system. I mean, you saw it 2008, the crash already, you know, and now they propped it up with money that they print, yeah. I mean, but it was 2019, it was nearly at the end, you know, and then luckily, out of the blue, came COVID. So they could, you know, keep it together. And now COVID is gone. And out of the blue came the war with Ukraine. So they still can somehow maintain it, yeah. But it is not being able to maintain it very long, much longer. You know? I mean,
printing money is...
Yeah, printing money is stupid. Yeah? I mean, everybody who has a little bit, you know, on his mind doesn't know it, yeah? And interest rates of... Negative interest rates in Europe. You know, I mean, the Americans never had negative interest rates. I mean, they had very low interest rates. But European, negative interest rate, yeah? I mean... It's so stupid, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same like with the cryptocurrency. Yeah? It's also money out of nothing.
And, the moment the computer system or internet goes down, they have no money. They always think, you know, that these things last, but nothing lasts. Yeah, everything can go down. There's a blackout, you know, in Europe. Yeah, I mean, when they boycott the gas from Russia and the boycott, you know, the oil from Russia, I mean, the lights are going out. So, then the cryptocurrency, computer cannot turn on. I mean, they are so stupid, yeah? I mean, when we are young, you know, at least the leaders in our politics were a little bit smart, but now they are just stupid. Greedy.
That is
extremely greedy, and that's what makes people stupid. Stay here in Thailand. Don't go. Yeah, you don't want. I mean, when you look at the hate that is going on in Europe, you don't want to live in a community, you know, where the family is split into COVID, for COVID and anti-COVID, and that's what happened there. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So you can come anytime when you have questions, yeah?